Now, I'm going to need a little help right at the end of the service because we're going to regather all the kids back in here right at the end. So somebody will have to help me to do that. The reason I'm telling you that now is because my plan is at the end of the message is that we're going to have all the parents and grandparents actually come forward. We're going to pray for all of our kids because they're important, and it's really very important to take care of our kids and to pray for them, which I'm going to be talking about this morning. Thank you. This morning I'm going to continue in this series we've been working on, and the series is that we should parent the way God parents. And if you don't know how to be a parent, if you never took any classes on that, or if you don't have any degrees in that, it's not something that just kind of happens. It really takes effort to learn to parent. And we live in a culture where that's been somewhat lost. And so it's important for us to go to the Word of God. What I want to stress to you this morning is that God has said that He will deliver us from evil. And in the prayer that Jesus offered in order to teach us to pray, that's one of the lines that Jesus gave, deliver us from evil. Now, as a parent, I want to tell you this. You are parenting a worshiper. Have you thought about that? You are parenting a worshiper. And that worshiper is being controlled by what he or she worships. Now, that's important to know. So let's say that again. You are parenting a worshiper who is being controlled by that which he or she worships. As a matter of fact, that's a description of you, because you are a child of God too. The purpose of an automobile is transportation. It is a transporter machine. Now, it can be used for other things, but the purpose of an automobile is to transport things. The purpose of a house is shelter. It exists to keep you safe and warm and dry. It can be used for many other things, but the purpose of it is sheltering. It was made to shelter. The purpose of a car is to transport, and the purpose of a house is to shelter. But what's the purpose of people? The purpose of people is worship, and each of us exists for this one singular purpose, to worship God. The reason that you were created is to worship God. You were created to worship God. Like cars and houses, we can misuse our purpose. But Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7 says that we were created to worship God. Worship means to value above anything else. To worship means to love. And this is why we're given the great command by Jesus, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength and soul. Why were you created? To love God back. God calls that worship, to value Him more than anything else on earth. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength. The reason why we're created. When we gather here on Sunday mornings, we call this worship. It is worship. We praise the Lord. We raise His name above all others. We express our love for God and we praise Him. And we listen to His instructions in order to honor Him. This is why we read the Word of God. We listen to what God has to say. This hour is called corporate worship. We all come together as a family and we worship the Lord. But God created us to continually worship all the time. And when I leave here this morning, God wants me to continue to love him and to worship him. Worship is not over. Corporate worship is finished for a while. God created your children and we as his children to love him in return for his love for us. Why do we love God? Because he first loved us. Your children were made for worship too. It's very important as a parent to understand that. Why God gave you children and what is their purpose? Your children are little worship beings. And that is why they were made by God. And God made each of us for that same reason. And we do, whether we realize it or not, we worship continually. We can't help it because that's what we are. We're just worshipers. We worship because we're created for that purpose. And everyone continually worships something. But Satan, the fallen angel who hates God, wants your child, and Satan wants you also, in order for you to worship him and his kingdom. And just as a car can be misused, or a drug can be misused, or a house can be misused, you yourself can misuse your very purpose, your purpose of worship. When I worship something other than the God who created me, I am misusing myself and I'm misusing the body that he gave me. So what does that mean? Worship means to put God preeminently first. He is priority. It means to value him above all the world and all the things that are in the world. And when we leave here, we're going out of this room and we're going out and we will worship something. Jesus said we are to hallow the Father. When you pray, he said, what do you say? He said, honor God, hallow him. We read it like this, and maybe you'll read it out loud with me, will you? This, then, is how you should pray. This is Jesus' instruction to us, his disciples. Here we go. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, I've been talking about this prayer of Jesus for 4 or 5 weeks now. We've come to the last phrase that Jesus prayed in the prayer, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our big brother, Jesus Christ, and he is called our brother in scriptures, is teaching us through this prayer how to approach God the Father, our Heavenly Father. And in that, there is implied instruction how you and I can be parents to our children, because these are the very things that we supply to our kids. So the first thing he starts off with is, know your deliverer, Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father is my deliverer from the evil one. And when he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, it's very important to understand who does the delivering. I'm asking you this morning, are you under attack? Is your family? Are your children? Do you know what this is like, that the evil one is trying to destroy your family? Because that is exactly what Satan does. He's out to destroy you, and he's out to destroy your family. And if he could, he would. He is a destroyer by his nature, and he is a liar. He wants you to believe that someone other than he is destroying your life or trying to destroy your life. And so he defers onto other people in your mind that it's someone else who's destroying your family. But who's behind it all the time? It's the evil one himself. Satan is the one. Jesus wants to save your life, and he wants to save the lives of your children. But Satan is the god of this world. God created Satan, and God allowed Satan to have a certain providence, power, jurisdiction. Not as large as God's, but a smaller portion, a smaller providence. And there's a reason why God did that. Now, I told you that our Heavenly Father wants to save your children. And that's true. He loves you, and God loves your kids. He loves you so much that he sacrificed his own son to save you and to save your children. Not just give you eternal life, but to save you now and here. We live in an evil world that is controlled by the evil one. But God is in the world too, fighting for you and fighting for your family because he loves you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3 says, the Lord is what? Faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Jesus said this, when you pray, pray to the Heavenly Father, worship him as you pray for help, and ask him to deliver you and yours from the evil one. Heavenly Father is far greater than Satan. Far greater. He's allowing Satan to run in this world for a while. And he's very powerful. We are no match for Satan. But Jesus is more than a match for Satan. Let me illustrate how that works. There was a time when Jesus began his earthly ministry, he was 30 years old. He had been following the Father and doing the will of the Father perfectly for 30 years. So the time came for Jesus to be officially recognized by the Father. He came of age to do the work of the Father. And so one of the things that the Father did was send out the Holy Spirit to take Jesus out into the desert, out into the wilderness. And then he invited Satan to come along and test Jesus. You remember how it goes. Satan said, turn this rock into bread and you'll be able to eat. Why is that important? Because supernaturally, Jesus had not eaten anything, yet lived for 40 days. Now you could not do that. This is supernatural. Because God the Father wanted Jesus to be supernaturally hungry and supernaturally tired and supernaturally worn out. And Satan says to Jesus, do you see all these kingdoms? He's on top of a mountain. He says, do you see all these kingdoms? You can have all these things. Jesus is purely in his humanity. And Satan tempts him and says, you can have all these things. Now, this event is called the temptation. And where it happens is called the Mount of Temptation. And it's a very interesting place because you can see way over in the valley and you can see cities and all kinds of things. And Jesus was supernaturally weak. More weak than you can imagine weak. There was a war going on there. They had a spiritual match going on. And Jesus simply turned around to Satan and flipped him like a flea. And he was gone. In Jesus' deepest weakness, he was far greater than Satan. And the reason that is important for you is greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now listen, if Satan could, he would kill you and he would kill your kids. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so Jesus said, when you pray, pray to Heavenly Father and worship him as you pray to him for help, because we must pray to him for help. And ask him to deliver you and yours from the evil one. Heavenly Father is far greater than Satan. The Holy Spirit who lives in you is far greater than Satan. Jesus is far greater than Satan. And he is allowing Satan to run wild in this world for a while. But the time is coming that Satan is going to be destroyed. And all that follows Satan will be destroyed also. God wants to save you and your kids, but Satan is out to destroy your family. James 1:13 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Now listen carefully. This is important. God never tempts you to sin. Now how do I know that? This verse. It's very clear. God never tempts you to sin. And God never tempts your children to sin. Never. That's important to understand, because you need to know, where does this temptation come from? Why do I sin and why am I tempted to sin? But you notice he says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. God can't be tempted to sin, and he never tempts anyone to sin. Now, it's important for you to understand the enemy that you're dealing with. Satan is a created angel who rebelled against the Creator. God is allowing Satan to tempt and destroy for a while. It is not God who tempts you to sin. It is the evil one who tempts you to sin. And we're very easily triggered because of the old nature that we already have inside of us. I've been dealing with some new friends this week whom I love. They're in trouble. They're in big trouble. They're in trouble legally. They're in trouble psychologically. They're in trouble socially. They're in trouble every possible way. And I'm praying to the Lord God that he will deliver them. But they have something inside themselves that did not come from God. Monster. They have a monster living in them. And when we think about that, and we think about unfortunate people who have fallen, we somewhat have, sometimes have a little pity. But what we don't understand is every one of us have a monster. Every one of us. There is none good, not one. And every one of us have an old nature that we got from our great-great-grandfather Adam. Because when Adam and Eve fell, they fell as far as you can fall. And they fell into sin. And we inherited that nature. And it's only by the grace of God that we're not where my friends are today. Because your child was created to worship, your child is constantly worshiping. You know, it's like you were created to breathe. And what do? You breathe. You breathe out, you breathe in. You breathe out, you breathe in. I'm always amazed to see those graphics that says how much blood your heart pumps in a lifetime. Tankers and tankers and tankers of blood. Why? Because you're made for that to happen. You're also made to worship. And just as surely as you automatically breathe, and just as sure as you automatically pump blood, you surely, every moment of your life, you're worshiping something. because you were made for that, and so are your children. So I ask you this question: are you showing your children how to worship God and not all that other stuff? All that is in the world that is evil. And that brings me to a very important part, and that is, know your role for your child's soul. You are your child's greatest hope on earth. I have to admit, and ashamedly so, that I was such an ignorant parent when I was young. I just kind of thought that when children grew up, they just get responsible. It just kind of happens. It's part of maturity. I thought maturity, that's what maturity was. They grow up and they're responsible, and well, they're great citizens and they're good Christians. And that's not how it works, friends. They really need a lot of attention. A tremendous amount of attention. Satan is in control of what this world believes about God. And Satan is in control of what this world believes about him too. C.S. Lewis said, one of the greatest mistakes that we make about understanding Satan, the evil one, is we get the idea that he doesn't really exist. We're too educated anymore. We're too rational. We've come to the enlightenment, and no longer do we believe that he even is. And so we're not afraid on Halloween to bear his mask and laugh at him. What foolishness. Satan is the god of this world. He controls the media messages that you hear every day. He controls the disbelief in God. He controls much of what our kids see and hear every day. And he is fighting for their minds and their souls. And so you too must fight and put on the weapons of God. This is why you are a parent. You are God's agent to save your family's soul. Respect him, but don't fear him. I'm talking about Satan. Respect him, but don't fear him. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And this is the scripture, the word of God. Now, I want to rush to say that it's not certain things that are evil. TV is not evil. But the lies and the values that are portrayed on TV are evil. Books are not evil inherently, but the lies of Satan in them are evil when God is denied. Facebook is not even evil, and it's hard for me to say that. It's the messages that are portrayed that are evil. Drugs are not evil. Drugs are a wonderful thing. But if used wrongly, they are used by Satan to destroy whole families, as you all well know. Our children are automatically going to worship. And that is what people do. It is what all people do. And of course, you should right now be jumping ahead of me and already thinking about, well, what is it that I worship? What is it you worship? Because we all worship something. Satan wants you to be so distracted, so disorganized that you can't prioritize. Now, that's a very important statement. Satan wants you to be so distracted, so disorganized in your life that you can't prioritize. Because the inability to prioritize is an indication where you are spiritually. Are you running every day at an exhausting pace? And at night when you lie down, you don't lie down softly, you collapse? Why? Is God working you to death? When I read Jesus doing all the work that he did and seeing him lie down in a boat where there's a frantic storm, and he's not anxious at all. Matter of fact, he goes right to sleep. That's not a picture of what I often think about when I think about our situations. Is God trying to work you to death? No, Satan is trying to work you to death. And he is trying very desperately to make you feel desperate. Is God giving you so much to do that you collapse at the end of the day? No, it's what you're adding to it in your false worship and in my false worship that makes us so anxious and exhausted. Satan is sucking you into the frenzy of the world. Do you think that all your busyness gives your kids more meaning? Really? Do you think all the busyness and all the things you get your kids involved in, do you think that makes them better people? We must, because we keep doing it. Here's what it says in that wonderful little song that the Shakers used to sing. 'Tis the gift to be simple, 'tis the gift to be free. 'Tis the gift to come down where we ought to be. That's about humility. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight. I love that little song. Great Shaker song. A lot of truth there too. We've given away our peace and we've substituted something else in it because we're worshiping things that God did not give us to worship. Satan is working in your family to increase isolation. That's right. Satan is working in your family to increase isolation and destroy your togetherness. How's he doing? How's that working out at your family? Your kid off to themselves and they're not with the family anymore. And have you contributed to that? Have you set it up that way because life's easier that way? Like no other generation, we have been given tools to separate and entertain away from one another. Your kids, believe it or not, want to be with you. If you're willing to interact with them, because they love that. That is, if you don't have other priorities. If you don't have things that are more important to do. And what is it when we have other more important things to do? Are we not conditioning our kids to, well, go in the other room and take your tablet? And 2 hours later we think, I wonder what they've been doing. If you're willing to give them the time, believe me, they will revel in playing with you and sharing time. Satan loves it when you and your kids are apart. He will find something for their attention, something very entertaining, as a matter of fact. And you know what they'll be doing? Do you know what they'll be doing? You get it yet? Worshiping. They're going to go worship. And they will practice that worship because all children are busy continually worshiping. And so are you, and so am I. Worship is what we put our heart into. I can worship things, I can worship people, I can worship myself. And one thing for sure, I and you and your children, we are always worshiping. Whatever is priority, we're giving our attention to that. So I'm asking you this question. Do you know what it is that you're worshiping? I'd like for you to give yourself a test. Here's how you do it. It's quite simple. What do you spend your discretionary time doing? That's a pretty good indicator. What do you spend your time doing? What do you spend your money on? Look in your checkbook and see where your discretionary money goes. Remember that Jesus gave all of us, the Father gave all of us time, talent, treasure. All of us have equal. I'm not talking about in dollar amounts, but I'm telling you, we all have 24 hours a day. We all have a talent and we all have something to give. And all you have to do is measure what you're doing with those three things and you'll figure out what you're worshiping. What do I have to do to not be anxious and worthless feeling? These are indicators of what I'm serving and what I'm giving to in my life. So I have some suggestions. First of all, I'm pleading with you again, as I have many weeks now, parent like God. Study how God parents his children and parent like God. We are just about to finish the book of Leviticus. It is very tedious to read through the book of Leviticus. And we as a church family, we're reading through the Bible. And we've been in Leviticus now for day after day after day, rule after rule after rule. Oh, it's so hard. Religious people believe that the more rules you have, the more righteous you become. They're wrong. And there are many people, there are many parents who believe the more rules you make, the better your kids get. It's not true, is it? It's not true. God is not into giving you more rules. You know why you have all those rules in the Old Testament? So that you would get exhausted trying to keep rules. How's he doing? You're pretty exhausted, right? Rules will not change anyone's heart. Rules will never change anyone's heart. You can make all kinds of rules at your house, and you can enforce them, and you can be the police person. But if you don't understand how God parents, you're going to miss the whole point, and your kids won't even want to be around you. What is God after? Is he after you keeping the rules? It's not what he's after. The point of the rules is you can't keep them. That's the whole point. What God's after is your heart. God wants you to love him back. Making rules don't make you lovely. They don't make you attractive to your kids. You see, what God wants is he wants us to really go for the kids' heart. What God wants is to go for their will, to work with their will. Not even their intellect so much, even though we're really into that. We think we make our kids smart. God's really after our will. Do our kids want to do what we do? Do our kids love what we love? Do our kids respect what we respect? Do our kids have the allegiance to things that we have allegiance to? These are heart issues. You can make all the rules in the world, and you can enforce them every day and fuss with your kids every day. Do you think your kids are going to be closer to you because of that? They will not. There's a prerequisite to understanding that, and that is what you demand from your children, which is called respect, you have to give to your children. Respect. You must respect your children so that you can draw their heart toward you. And they want what you have because everyone wants to be loved. Rules do not change hearts, and God's after your heart. Now, you can be like God in this parenting if you're going for your kid's heart. You're going for their will. You're not just enforcing rules. You're not saying, oh, now you're a good person. You kept all 10 rules today. That's not going to make your child close to you. That won't work. What your child needs to be sure of is that you love her. Now, church family, I have another suggestion. And I'm asking the Lord to give this because, you know, the Lord instructed us, when you need something in the church family, what should you do? You should pray for it. Thank you, by the way, for praying Wednesday. You should pray for it. But here's what the Lord says. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth workers. Now, I'm telling you, in regard to what I'm telling you today, I'm praying that the Lord will send somebody out of our congregation. I'm praying that God will raise up one, two, three, or four people who will be resources for parents of how to deal with electronic media to keep your kids safe. I don't know how to do that. But some of you do. We need people who know how to program the machines that our kids are carrying around so that they're not drug into the gutter. And so I'm praying, if you're that person, I'm praying for you to make yourself known. Because you will be the resource when parents say, my kid got a new phone, what do I do? Well, the first thing I'm going to say is, why did you give them a phone? Pretty dangerous thing to have under the guise of being safe. Now, if you're the person that God has laid it on your heart to be the protector, you're the savvy person who knows how to program phones and block evil things and protect kids, we need to know who you are, because parents in this congregation need to know how to do that. I would also suggest this. If your child cannot operate a car safely, do you really think they can operate electronic media safely? No. Don't believe all the hype that you hear about socialization either. It's very common. Everybody's real positive about it. And the reason you need to do this and the reason you need to do that is because of socialization. I was in a jail last week. It was a small jail. It wasn't very big at all. There were about 20 men in there, and they were all socializing. I don't think any of them got better by it. There's a myth out there that if you put kids with other kids, they're just going to get better. They'll learn how to operate in the world. Now, I don't mean to offend you if you have that opinion, but it's a myth. It's not true. As a matter of fact, it can be even dangerous. Who saves the kids? The other kids, their peers? No. Parents save kids. I want to ask you this too. Teach and support your child to find godly friends. I don't know how many brokenhearted parents I've had come to me. Brokenhearted. Because the time has come that they had this friend for 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, and all of a sudden they find out they have a totally different belief system than my family has. And you think it's easy to separate those kids? Help your children to find good friends. And I have a little technique that I use, and I didn't do many things right, but I think this one thing was really right. My wife and I always told children they could have a sleepover and they could spend time with their friends, but it had to be at our house. Don't just turn your children loose. This is a dangerous day. It's a dangerous time. If you have drastic problems with your children, you may need a drastic solution. Ignoring the problems will not make them go away. And sometimes when kids get into trouble, they really need a shock. They need the shock of your love, that you would be willing to intervene and do what's necessary to shut down something that's evil against them. Their kids won't like it. But are you parent enough to do it? I suggest you get help if you're going to do something like that. But my most important suggestion to you as I close is, I want you to think about evaluating what your family worships. What do they value? What do you value? Pray and model. So the overall principle in this is this: my priorities reveal my worship object. It's not hard to understand. Now, Satan blinds the minds of people, it says in the scripture. He very easily dupes us. And you would think that things are extremely obvious, that we would get it right off the bat, but we don't. And that's why this is important. My priorities reveal my worship object. So what are your priorities? What's important to you? What matters? What does your family talk about? What do? Where do you spend your money? Where do you spend your time? Many people are not here today because this is not priority. It doesn't make them evil. It's just a time to evaluate. It's amazing how parents will go to great extents to make sure that everything their kid eats is organic and make sure they brush their teeth twice a day. But then they'll turn around and say, well, you can make your own decision about God when you're 18. I really don't understand that. I'm not down on you. I'm on your side. I want to save your kids. I want to encourage you to save your kids. I want you to be consistent in your walk with Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you that your children see you reading the Bible, not because you're keeping another religious rule, because you love Jesus Christ and you love learning about Him and being with Him. Now, I'm going to ask Daly to sing again. Wasn't that awesome? I'm going to ask her to sing again, and I'm going to have you sing with her. And as she comes and says, come on up, Daly, as she sings, I want to ask you parents and grandparents and whoever wants to come up front. Now, I know it doesn't look like we have a lot of room, but we don't have pews screwed in the floor. You can move the chairs. We're all going to gather up here. We're going to pray for our kids. We're going to pray for our families. That's how we're going to close today. If you'll do that, I'm going to ask you to come. Here come the little ones. This is why we're going to pray. Let's stand and sing with Daly, and you just start making your way up front. We're all going to pray together. These are beautiful people right here. Every one of these people are worshiping every day.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer?
Come on up.
There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
We're going to hedge about our children. We're going to create a fort around them. We're going to be serious about what we worship.
The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side, the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing. For in my need, His power is displayed. I hold, my shepherd will defend me through the deepest valley
us worship Him. That's why we're created.
No fate I dread. I know I am forgiven. The future sure. The price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing.
Kids, hedge around our families. We don't have a chance, Lord Jesus. Without You, we live in a dark world, Lord. We live in the boiling pot like the frog, and it gets hotter and hotter and hotter. And one day we wake up and we say, where did our family go? May that not be said here, Lord. May You rise up in us, hedge around our children, save our kids. We pray, Lord, that You will bless those who have in their heart to save kids here. The Monday night ministry, the Sunday night ministry, the Sunday morning ministry. All these things, Lord, we give You glory and praise, for, Lord, we are helpless. We depend upon You. So, Father, I pray for everyone here that we will be serious about what we're doing. That we realize, Lord, that we were made for worship, and we do worship. But, oh, Lord, we're ashamed at times when we look up and see what we did worship. Forgive us, Lord, for treating this world as though it's permanent, when this is such a temporary thing. Bless our kids, Lord. Protect them. For all among our church family who are ill today, may You bless them. And may the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified for every ounce of effort. In His name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, you're dismissed. What beautiful people